The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Just over 2.5 weeks until the country goes to the polls in the local and European elections. We were in Ireland South last week speaking to some of the hopefuls there. Earlier this week, we spoke to some of the hopefuls in Dublin. We continue in that vein today because Barry Andrews is with me. He's a Fianna Fáil MEP, hoping to continue to be an MEP into the future. Claire Daly is an independent MEP and she also hopes to be re-elected. And Dahi Doolan is with me. He is a Sinn Féin Dublin City Councillor and running for the party in the upcoming European elections. You're all very, very welcome, folks, and thanks
Great a million for joining us.
So Dahi is the first timer. Why do you want to be an MEP? What would you hope to achieve in Brussels?
Well, I think, first of all, I love Dublin. I've chosen to live here. I've been living here for over 30 years now. I'm raising my family here. And I've lived in, worked and represented some of the most marginalised communities in Dublin. And I firmly believe Dublin can be even better than it is. I feel passionate about Dublin. That's why I'm putting myself forward. And I think the 3 out of the 4 MEPs are from government parties. And just because they're in Brussels doesn't mean to get out of jail card for their failed policies. I see the poverty, marginalisation, disenfranchisement, disadvantage across Dublin. And I want to fix it. And I want to be that voice for change in Dublin. I want to stand up for Dublin, stand up for Ireland and become a progressive MEP and ensuring that the EU has a positive, progressive role in Dublin in ensuring that we build a city that we can all call home, communities that are safer, welcoming, safe places for everybody to come and live, and particularly use the EU as a tool to tackle the housing crisis that has bedeviled this city, particularly in here in Dublin City, because of the failed policies of the government. They need to be held to account for that.
What function has the European Parliament in making Dublin a safer place, and what function does it have in solving the housing crisis?
Particularly housing is the number one issue that we're getting on doorsteps right across Dublin.
Yeah.
And the role, particularly around the public procurement process, that is the directive from Europe is what determines how we build and how we can access funding for public housing. And I think from being a city councillor, it has hampered us. I think the interpretation of it by the Customs House, the Mandarins in the Customs House, hampers it. There's no sense of crisis in Europe that there's a housing crisis. I think we've been failed by MEPs who you feel there's no sense of crisis around it. Those the public procurement needs to be reformed. I think the money needs to be relieved. I think there needs to be a loosening of the purse strings with the European Central Bank. The infrastructural fund needs to be loosened to allow us build houses, provide
because we don't have enough money.
People. Well, look,
I keep hearing this in all the debates. Well, we have 8 billion quid spare in
Europe,
the last budget.
I'm going to Europe.
We have so much spare money. The government don't know what to do with it.
To stand up for the people of Dublin, to be a voice for change, to ensure the money's released, that we slash.
So the government can put even more of it into the rainy day fund.
That we can slash the legislation that hampers us from building houses. I was chair of the housing committee in Dublin, and between the customs
house
and Brussels,
there's no sense. You think it's a lack of money is what's stopping us building houses?
I didn't say lack of money. I said the procurement process hampers us accessing the funding to building housing, and the procurement funds need to be radically changed. They haven't been changed thus far. I want to be that MEP that takes the scissors to red tape, that takes the scissors to bureaucracy, releases the funds, and allows us to access funding at a national level to build housing for those who need it the most, because the housing crisis has now become a social crisis. It's affecting public services, the guards, firefighters, nurses, doctors.
Yeah.
So we need to unlock the potential around housing, build communities and make Dublin a safer place for everybody.
Claire Daly, an independent MEP, what would you hope to achieve in another term in Brussels?
Well, I suppose first thing I'd say is there's plenty of things I'd give out about the European Union on, but actually housing is a member state competency and the failure of our housing policy rests firmly on the shoulders of the governments and successive governments and their failure to develop public housing. There is an issue with the housing financialisation model and the state aid rules in Europe, which Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael voted recently to reinforce. But actually, it's the government that runs for that failure. And as you say, there are plenty of funds there. There's plenty of European funds, which actually our government has refused to draw down. But I'd like to be re-elected because I've used the platform as a sort of a globally identified voice for diplomacy, for international law, for the peaceable resolution of disputes. I have the highest legislative record. I have more legislative files and portfolios than all of the other 3 Dublin MEPs together. I'd like to continue that good work next time round.
So, I mean, none of those are matters, I'm sure they're matters that people care deeply about, but in terms of, I guess, the fundamental job of a politician on some level is improving the living standards of their constituents. I mean, you didn't tick any of those boxes there.
Will you give us 30 seconds to kind of do an introduction?
Well, I didn't interrupt you.
I could have. Okay, well, I'd absolutely carry on for the next five.
How are you going to improve the living standards of your constituents?
Well, you see, people can make many promises, and I've seen a lot of portfolios and manifestos claiming to do things that are actually not even the responsibility of the European Union. But the biggest challenge facing our society is the climate. There was a report yesterday in The Guardian by scientists saying the majority of whom say we're going to reach 2.5%. Tens of thousands of deaths across Europe and all the rest of it. I have the highest record, myself and Mick Wallace, of any of the groups in voting on all of the environmental platforms. I'd like to continue that. It's directly relevant. If Europe hamstrings itself with state aid rules, which I have opposed, then we are lumbering ourselves or handcuffing ourselves in our ability to deal with issues like building housing, like public transport and so on. But it is a fact that there is a lot of funding there in Europe already, which Ireland hasn't drawn down. We're 25 out of 27 of the countries in the Connecting Europe Fund. We are the most congested city in the world, and there's money there that they haven't drawn down. So people who say, I'll go to Europe and I'll fight for money for you, there's money there that our government hasn't chosen to draw down. So why sending them to Europe when there's money there would change that? I have no idea.
Barry Andrews, as a member of one of the government parties, though not in government, an MEP in Brussels for Fianna Fáil, what would you do with another term?
Yeah, well, I think these are really pivotal elections. I think who we send to Brussels matters more now than it ever has. We are living in very dangerous times, Kieran. I've tried to strike a balance in my work, particularly in the Trade Committee and the Development Committee, between recognising that Europe is the engine of growth of the Irish economy. We need to work on the single market, which is very, very important for Irish businesses, and also develop our trade links with other countries because we are an open trading economy, while at the same time recognising we have to do business in a completely different way. We can't leave it to our children to pick up the tab for our failure to make decisions about responsible production and consumption. And I've been working very hard on overall corporate responsibility and how they behave in relation to human rights and also on environmental damage. I've also worked extremely hard on the development agenda, particularly on Gaza over the last 7 or 8 months. I was one of the first MEPs to raise the issue of the EU-Israel association agreement. I was one of the first MEPs to call for additional funding for UNRWA. And I think what we need to do now is to elect MEPs who are prepared to make decisions, make a difference, not MEPs who are going there merely to make noise.
Is that a reference to the MEP sitting beside you?
No, I'm running a very positive campaign. I'm running a very positive campaign, and I want to. I recognise that decisions have to be made. We have to go to Europe to get the job done. Very often people are going there to simply be on the sidelines, spectating, commentating, but never, ever getting their hands dirty. And it is maybe a reflection on those who go to Europe with such an inflexible ideology that they're not capable
you're not talking about anyone in particular.
But I'm going to come in on that.
It applies to the far left and the far right in the European Parliament and the other candidates that have been raised here.
Because the job of the Parliament is primarily to bring in legislation. And I have dealt with, either as a rapporteur for the whole Parliament or as a shadow for my political group, 115 legislative files as compared to Barry's 18. I've done more of that legislation than all of the Dublin MEPs.
Just 15% of Claire's amendments have actually got through. Just 15% of your amendments have got through. Whereas 65% of my amendments have actually been adopted.
This is a quality versus quantity debate.
This is about impact. This is about getting the job done. This is making tough decisions.
I'm sick and tired of this bickering of MEPs who go to Europe. What people want is strong, progressive, real change. And that's what we're providing. And I think what we need, we cannot trust the government in power right now, let alone trust them in Europe. Put them out of Europe, put them out of local government, and eventually get rid of them out of government. With all due respect, let me finish, Barry.
Sure.
Let me finish. Now, what we need is people who will stand up for Dublin, who stand up for Ireland, will defend our corner, and that's why I'm stepping forward to stand up for Dublin. I have seen this government and consecutive governments of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have left whole communities behind, and we've had enough of it. And there's a lot of anger out there, a lot of frustration, and getting on the doorsteps, and I understand it, and I want to make sure that people step up to the plate, vote on June the 7th, vote for progress, vote for change. That starts on June the 7th, and put somebody like myself and my colleague Lynn Boylan into Europe, who will actually try and access the funding, loosen the purse strings, Ireland's interests, and defend more importantly Dublin's interests in Europe.
Neither of these two candidates have said definitively which group, which European family, they will be part of.
We actually did.
In the
and you
next...
were there, Barry. You were there.
So
in the IBEC hustings, I said I was quite comfortable in the left group. They've been a great support to us.
We're getting contradictory messages from Sinn Féin.
No, but I said very clearly, Barry, with all due respect, and if you look back at the records of the meeting, I said it was one of the first questions from the right of the crowd, and I said very clearly, I'm very comfortable with the left.
We know that's not the case.
If we're open to negotiations with new groups, we'll negotiate that. But let's get the election out of the way. Let's send Sinn Féin.
That's like a general election candidate saying, oh, you know, vote for me and I'll tell you when I get there.
No, Barry, I said I'm quite happy with the left group.
Nobody takes it.
I want to hear from Clare. They've been good during Brexit.
Yes, you made your point. I want to hear from Clare.
And I'm very happy to show the
I'm just going to keep talking so people can't hear the point you're making anyway,
Don. The truth is nobody knows what group they can join because we don't know what groups will be formed until after the election. And I'm quite happy to stay in the left group, but it may be the case that a number of kind of different anti-militarist peace campaigners will form a group that's been speculated upon. I would be open to that as I was in the last mandate, but my platform is my platform. And I think some of the problems that we're identifying, because Doughty is absolutely correct, people have been bitterly betrayed. They're reeling under a housing crisis, a cost of living crisis and so on. But most of that is as a result of the government's decisions here nationally. The idea of going to Europe and loosening purse strings. There are purse strings which have already been loosened and our government has chosen not to access it. For example, we were the country that got the least out of the COVID Recovery and Resilience Fund, but they haven't drawn down hundreds of millions of euros in that. Yet we are the most congested city in Dublin. Nothing an MEP can do will alter that if our government doesn't access funds that are there. For the European Investment Bank, where there are no transport applications from Ireland and so on and so on. So to say you'll go to Europe to fight for Dublin, you have to fight for Dublin here, although everything we do is
relevant.
Just to
develop this point I made earlier. So if I'm elected, I understand there will be meetings of my group on the Tuesday after the count. So that's Tuesday the 11th of June.
And for people at home, that group is?
The Renew Europe group. Okay, so they're going to have meetings and decisions are going to be taken on that Tuesday about the distribution of files, about decision by coordinators, about chairs, about influential positions. Now, almost all of the left group MEP candidates in Dublin and across Ireland are saying, well, we don't know exactly which group we're going to be. Now, by the time they finish their auditions with different groups, and those political families will have to carry out due diligence on you about whether or not they accept you into their group.
And what's going to happen is,
let Barry finish this point.
All of the decisions will already be taken. All the influence will have been dispersed.
But it cannot be
spinning. And all of this.
It is
absolutely
about
ridiculous
our allegiance with the left.
To approach
we're in the group,
a parliamentary
we're happy
election.
Let's move on to real politics.
And to state that you're going to make a decision about which group you're going to after you're elected.
But
it just doesn't make any sense. It's completely unsubstantial.
That is not the issue facing Dubliners.
But it is a big issue about influential. If you understand the system in Brussels.
It's crisis after crisis of this government. And spinning half-truths and myths about what group we're going to be in is irrelevant to the people in Drimna, Ballymun, Ballyfermot or Ballybrack. They want to elect somebody who stand up for their interests in
Europe. Like to know
and I am that MEP.
You're going to be a
they do not want to know.
Lots of people are asking it all the time.
I don't know what cloud you're operating
on.
The people of Ballyfermot, the people are dealing with crime
and people are getting away with saying all the
people with crime, are not interested in your thinking about the group. They want services, they want housing, they want rent relief. What they want is safe communities, welcoming communities, strong communities.
And you say on the doorstep then, well, those services won't be in my bailiwick as an MEP, don't you?
No, what I'd be saying...
You're quite clear about that, aren't you?
There's local and European elections on June the 7th. It's a very important election. They have two ballots, one choice, either change or more the same. And I'm standing for progressive, real change in communities. I want to represent my communities at the highest level possible to ensure we tap into resources, supports, and also coalition of progressive forces across Europe to tackle these issues.
Can we talk about issues that actually impact the European Union, which it
can
has
Can I ask
a
you then
in.
About defence and
that's,
common
well,
defence?
That's exactly what I... You must have read my mind because that's exactly what I was coming
well,
to.
Well, it is one of the issues that has come up in all the other debates. It's housing and migration and the economy and defence.
It's totally key because we've heard Ursula von der Leyen in the last week or so saying that she wants to turbocharge defence. She wants a commissioner for defence. And Thierry Breton, the commissioner, has said he wants a 100 billion euro fund for defence. We have the European Defence Industrial Strategy. So what we see against the backdrop of a climate catastrophe, which requires cooperation on a global scale, we see budgets being raided to take money out of environmental programmes for environmental research, like the STEP programme, where 8.5 billion has been taken taken out of environmental measures and put in defence. I think that's making Europe incredibly more dangerous. We're living in a time of required cooperation. I think it is utter lunacy. And the very reason why we have all of the problems that we have in society, people's needs not being met, is in part due to the massive militarisation that Europe is ongoing. It's actually making Europe...
Well, how do you explain inequality then and problems we have in this country in that context? Because we don't spend an awful lot of money on defence.
But we are barreling further into that integration. And if
no, I said that, but that's a separate point. This idea, the point that you make, that all these problems we have in society, one of the big contributors to it is because the massive spend on military.
We don't spend nothing on military, but we are barreling down to spend more and more when, as you've been identifying and as Doughty has identified, there's a glaring need for housing to address the cost of living and so on. And the way in which
most of the increased military spending proposed in this country is actually increased pay for soldiers.
One of the reasons, not if they get their way now in the new defence union, which is being set up next year. And if you think that's not relevant to people in Ireland, that's a bit scary, particularly when we're 1 year away from a rapid deployment capacity force being initiated as well, which is anything but an EU army in everything but name.
Also,
let's just get another bit of balance on this. First of all, for the last 50 years, people from the left have warned about militarisation of the European Union. We're going to have an EU army.
Right.
All of our young people are
going
to be conscripted to fight imperialist wars. Yeah. We've heard that at every referendum. We've heard it at every European Parliament election. And now we're hearing it. This is a scaremongering. And Sinn Féin, for example,
Irish soldiers, though, for the first time, have signed up to take part in EU battle groups. That is a fact.
Soldiers have been involved with the European Common Security and Defence Policy for decades. And we haven't fallen off a cliff.
But
we have been
is,
in peace enforcement is, and peacekeeping
the
missions.
Truth is,
and
the EU,
if we have a real ambition for the Irish Armed Forces, if we really want to improve the standard, the military training, the equipment, and make sure that they're safe and they actually can deal with the threats to Ireland, then we have to invest. And the best way to do that is in cooperation with our European colleagues. And we've done that for years through CSDP. So all of this is scaremongering from the left to try to develop Euroscepticism.
I'm going to come back to Claire in just one moment.
Every single country in Europe has changed its security and defence posture
because
of Russia invading Ukraine. And the left don't want to hear that.
The left are well up on debating and will stand over our principles 100%. We have been correct. There's a massive war.
You've changed
going
your policy on PESCO.
War
You've
going
changed
on
your policy
right
on
in the centre of Europe. And unfortunately, the EU and the USA with NATO, there's always funds for war. There's always funds for armaments. But there's never funds to tackle poverty, marginalisation, disadvantage and housing. We're all told, tighten the purse strings, bury it in the bureaucracy of procurement.
But Mary Lou wants to increase funding for the Irish Defence Force. Please let me clarify.
Yeah. I am not scaremongering. That's the truth and that's a valid point. We need to create a Europe that's peaceful, prosperous and equal. A Europe which is dedicated
and they can defend itself.
Mary Lou wants more Irish defence spending.
Well, you can't.
If you make your point more briefly, we might all get in.
We're all here as equals. We do need independent foreign policy that needs to be strengthened by a defence force that can protect our sovereignty. That doesn't mean that we have to roll over to the Brussels bureaucrats and simply ensure that we've an EU
sound
army
sucking up
that funding.
Increased spending here.
We should ensure that the funding that's going into armaments in Europe should go into housing, healthcare, education, tackling. That's where the real battle is. That's what's coming up in the doorstep.
But increased defence spending here, though.
We need defence spending here to meet the needs of an independent defence force to protect our sovereignty.
And that's what every other European country is on record saying.
But what we don't want to see is the ever-deepening war right in the middle of Europe that creates destabilisation, further poverty, humane crisis, refugees, cost of living crisis.
I need to correct an inaccuracy that Barry made. I mean, what we're talking about here is European funding, which is going towards defence, which would otherwise go towards issues like tackling climate change and so on.
What's the value of the European Defence Fund? Direct
relevance between the two. Now, I don't know if Barry is just ignorant or dishonest, but the truth is there's no scaremongering here. Europe is becoming a defence union next year. Europe is establishing a rapid deployment capacity force of initially 5,000 troops, land, sea and air, combat ready, which Joseph Borrell has said means boots in the ground, going into non-permissive environments, which means countries that don't want you. When you combine that with Micheál Martin's moves in the Dáil currently, despite the election manifesto of Fianna Fáil, which said the triple lock would not be touched, to remove the safety guard for Irish troops going abroad only under a UN mandate, if they get their way in the Dáil, they will be going as part of that to fight for German energy interests in Mozambique or wherever, and the possibility of Irish men and women serving overseas in the name of Europe, in the name of exploitation of resources in Africa, is 1 year away. So everything that was warned by the people of Ireland in a year,
Irish members of the Defence Forces, within 12 months are going to be fighting for German energy resources in Mozambique.
If our government get their way in lifting the triple lock, given that that force is going to be in place next year, the prospect of us doing that becomes a very real reality, which means that the warnings that the citizens of Ireland in Nice and Lisbon, when they rejected those treaties, were very real. We had a built-in into the Seville Declaration that the triple lock was our protection.
We're getting now they've lectures removed on it. Geopolitics.
So everything that we've
we're
said
getting
has
lectures
come to
on
pass.
Geopolitics from somebody who, you know, fundamentally underestimated the threat from Russia. And every EU member state has changed its policy towards security and defence. Some of the most peace-loving countries in the world have gone and joined NATO. Denmark has joined CSDP. Switzerland and Germany have increased their defence spending. And as far as Clare is concerned, this is all a conspiracy. And it's all pointing Ireland towards taking part in battles in Mozambique for German energy. I mean, this is just fantasy stuff.
Rather than speculating could you deal with the defence union and the rapid deployment capacity and your reneging on Fianna Fáil's commitment
Fianna
to the triple lock?
Fianna Fáil has made a commitment to changing the triple lock because we do not want,
manifesto.
You know, like Sinn Féin say that they want sovereignty over migration, but they don't want sovereignty over the deployment of troops and for our foreign policy. It doesn't make any sense
whatsoever. Policy. Irish troops should only serve abroad under a UN mandate. NATO brings no stability.
Is that not oxymoronic?
No, it's not more. Absolutely. That's an insult to the public and to our troops that do serve proudly under the UN.
How is it not oxymoronic?
The UN is the international democratic structure. NATO has no international democratic mandate.
You know what oxymoronic means? It's not moronic. Oxymoronic means that it's a contradiction in terms.
Let me clarify the question. Under the UN mandate. Because we are a member of the UN, it has a democratic mandate, it's an international democratic structure.
But not a dilution of sovereignty.
There hasn't
Absolutely
been a
not. The UN is a strengthening which we operate together as equals. Can I finish my point, though? NATO, people joining NATO only brings further stabilisation, further militarisation and further bankrolling of the armaments industry. What we want to ensure is a peaceful Europe in a peaceful world and using the economic bloc, trading agreements, political agreements as tools to bring about stability.
Sinn Féin and independence
let me
for
finish,
change.
Please.
You
just
got
let
it
me
wrong
finish,
in
Barry.
Russia.
Please.
Admit it. You got
Please.
It wrong.
No, we did not.
Russia.
We absolutely condemned Russia. They shouldn't be in Ukraine.
Absolutely.
But the
After
only
the
way
fact.
To bring about peaceful negotiation, as we know in Ireland, is negotiations with your enemies and a peace process that we can all be proud of that brings peace, stability and prosperity for Europe.
Yeah.
NATO have no role in any of that. The UN do and the EU do.
If Putin has his way, Ukrainians put down their arms.
Absolutely.
You will get peace,
I do not support
but you won't
Putin.
Get freedom.
That's a
you
slur.
Won't get justice.
I do not
you won't get
support
democracy.
Russia in
that
any
is
way.
The reality.
They should not have
and they're
foot
entitled to
one
their
inch
sovereign
of Ukrainian
border.
Soil. They should withdraw. But at the end of the day, as we learn through our own peace process, which is one of the best models of peace process in the world, you negotiate with your enemy, you negotiate with people you never spoke to, because that's how you make peace.
Absolutely.
And you give up some territory.
Nobody's talking about giving up territory.
It's
what
a
I'm saying is a peaceful process that brings on justice. Peace
decision
with justice,
to defend your territory.
Not peace for land, peace with justice.
I'd love to hear from Barry because he said we condemned it after the event. I mean, clearly Zelensky and other people miscalculated again, but you can't condemn something before it happens. And we have condemned it from the very first day. In the Irish Times, the next day after the invasion, I called it the gravest of crimes under international law. But we know from experience and the intervening 2 years now that you will not solve a war by more militarisation. And the response of the European Union was to pour in arms, to sanction Russia, supposedly, widely, which contributed to our cost of living crisis here and didn't do Russia any harm at all, sadly. So it didn't work there either. And what we've seen in the intervening 2 years is hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians killed, territory lost. And we're still coming now to the need for peace, which was the position that we put from day one. It's an awful pity that the other people in the European didn't have the back of the Ukraine in April 2022 when they asked for a security guarantee when they had negotiated a deal with Russia. I mean, why is it okay that we can have a Northern Ireland peace process where 17% of the territory of this island is under a different jurisdiction, but there's a pathway towards reform and Ukraine can't have that? It's the only country that has to fight to the last Ukrainian.
Barry,
I'd love to hear Barry's solution to the war because I've never heard anything other than ridiculous slurs.
Barry, what is your solution beyond total victory? I mean, you don't need two hands to count how many wars ended with total victory in the last century. I can think of.
Sorry, under the UN Charter, every member state of the United Nations has a right to defend its sovereign borders. And I believe that millions of Irish people and millions of Europeans stand by Ukraine so long as they want to defend their sovereign territory. And so long as there's an occupation in southeastern Ukraine, they should be entitled to defend their sovereign borders. And, you know, and that doesn't change. And the day that Ukraine says they want to negotiate,
we will support them 100%.
The sovereign government of Ukraine wishes to defend itself against the Russian aggression.
And we stand 100%
behind the government of Ukraine.
I don't know if Barry doesn't, but we can't have misinformation going out here. There was a peace agreement put forward by Russia and Ukraine, which both of them were happy to sign off on. And the US and the EU refused Ukraine's reasonable and necessary request for a security guarantee. In essence, they were told to fight on. So they had already asked for that. What's happened in the intervening period if they ceded no more land? And Barry still hasn't answered how a country one third of the size of another country is going to defeat it militarily, because that's the only offer that he's made.
So might is right.
We need
that's
to,
it.
You've that's just exactly what you're saying.
You're not saying might is right.
I'm saying the opposite of that. And I find it curious that when you say we demand a ceasefire in Gaza and a negotiated settlement, nobody calls you a Netanyahu puppet. When you call for a ceasefire in the Ukraine war and a negotiated settlement, which by its very nature means the Ukrainians have to agree to it, otherwise it wouldn't be a settlement. And people say, well, that's doing nothing. That's not doing work.
I think it's important to point out the EU have a role to play in this. We're not spectators. We cannot simply stand back and allow NATO bankroll an arm and pump literally hundreds of billions into a European conflict that is having a negative ripple effect right across. It affects homes and towns in Ireland. It's killing Ukrainians and it's killing Russians. And the EU cannot simply stand by and allow that.
Yeah. Do you deny the Ukrainians agency?
Sorry?
The Ukrainians are just puppets of NATO. Are they in this
I didn't say that whatsoever. But I'm very, very clear. NATO are embedded in that war. NATO are embedded in bankrolling and arming that war to the detriment of the Ukrainians, to Russians, and to the whole of Europe. We can't
maybe the Ukrainians want the arms that are being sold to them.
I do not agree for one moment any Ukrainian wants to die or be killed, or they don't want to die at the hands of either NATO or Russia. But we have to. We're the ones who suffered from the First World War and the Second World War. We need to stand up to NATO. We need to stand up for peace, prosperity, and equality. And so far, I have not heard that from any leading EU politician, particularly Ursula von der Leyen.
A final word to Barry, I think, just to balance it out.
Ursula von der Leyen,
as a foreign policy lies in tatters.
You have not once during this whole debate has anybody tried to blame Putin. It's all been the European Union and NATO.
I said absolutely
Russia,
Barry,
is to blame for this. It's an outrageous failure.
Russia should not have stepped into Ukraine.
The underestimation of Europe,
and Claire said she condemned it the day after.
We
are out of time. Claire Daly is an independent MEP. She hopes to continue to be an independent MEP. Barry Andrews is an MEP for Fianna Fáil. He hopes as well to continue to be so. And Dáithí Dolan is running for Sinn Féin, currently a Dublin City councillor. You're all very, very welcome. Thank you all very, very much for joining me.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.